Slamming, ego. Slamming, ego. Slamming, ego. Slamming, ego. You already know what's up. What's that, another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 590 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is April 25th, 2024, and the Padres choked a series win. They had it 3 out of 4. Things were going to be feeling good going into this Philly series. And if they would have took 3 out of 4, we would have been like, oh, and they don't have to face Zach Wheeler as well. But now they split 2-2. And sure, they still don't have to face Zach Wheeler. He pitched today in their series finale before coming to San Diego. But now you're like, well, you have to face Nola. You have to face Ranger Suarez, who's been pitching really well this season. It's just like, man, it doesn't feel great. You know, it's crazy how one game can change how we totally feel about what's happening with this team right now. And I'll get to Mike Shildt and what he said post-game today and how he was totally having a player's back, and he was pissed. I don't think he was, like, pissed off at Dennis. Maybe he just let it out at Dennis a little bit. But that was the first time that we really saw him, you know, agitated. And I love it. Like, the fight, you definitely saw it. You saw it when he got thrown out, what was that, weekend ago on the Profar call on the inside strike. The quick ejection. He was pissed off then, but I'm talking about post-game press conference where he was going at it. That's what it seemed like with Dennis. And Dennis was just the reporter that was doing his job and ended up asking the question. So we'll get to that. I'll talk about all three games in this series. We can talk about Padres-Phillies a little bit as well. For those that want to join the show, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. If you have any comments, questions, I will get to the comments as well. You can use that super chat button if you want to support the show. And by the way, just a teaser, expect a big time interview coming out here soon, probably tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, that I think a lot of Padres fans are going to love. So stay tuned for that. Jackie, I see him. He wants to join the show. And I will have him on here right now just to give his initial thoughts on this series, before I, you know, get into the three games here. What's up?
Hey, man. No, I'm up here in LA. I live in LA, and I was, you know, just watching the progress of the game on ESPN. You know, 4-0, 4-4, 6-4, 8-4, 9-5, and then 9-6, 9-7. However it went, I'm going, oh no, it's happening again. It's comical. See the funny side of it, or you're going to get pissed off. So I didn't watch the game. I didn't see any details. I just saw what I've seen before, man. At least I'm laughing about it. I don't know.
Yeah. I was thinking as this was going on, like, man, Padres, they'll squeak by with this. And hey, we got the Coors Field game. It took all four games, but hey, we got that wacky high scoring Coors Field game. And then Luis Camposano can't catch a ball that's right at him. And Wandy just did not have it today with the five batters that he faced. Colette comes in because they didn't want to go to Robert Suarez. He hangs a ball to Elias Diaz. And there was that. And I'm not going to, like, get pissed off at the offense. No Merrill, no Manny. And they still put up, you know, 8 runs in this game. Like, it's not there. 9 runs in this game. It's not their fault. Wandy, this was his worst outing in a Padres uniform so far. He had a sub-2 ERA, as Shildt pointed out in the post game, 60% ground ball rate. Like, you're going to trust that guy, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. That doesn't mean it's the wrong move. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, and it's really frustrating, though, for sure, because that's a game, just like last year, where you have leads, and you lose to the Pirates or the Royals, you know. And here you have a 5-run lead, 9-4 at one point, I believe, and you choke it away. It's not like this is a decent Rockies team. This Rockies team sucks. They're not a good team. And they're with this win, they're 7-19. They're not White Sox bad, where the White Sox have like 3 wins this year. but they're like the worst team in the National League, them and I think the Marlins. So it's not, it would be one thing if they choked this to the Dodgers or the Braves, but they choked it to the Colorado Rockies.
No. Yeah. And thank God we only have to go there one more time instead of what is it normally? Normally three or four times a year, because I just, every time I go in, I'm just saying something bad's going to happen. And it always does. I don't know about other teams. I don't follow other teams that go into Coors Field, but I don't know. It can't be this bad, or maybe it, I don't know how they match up against other teams, but yeah, but that's what happened. If it would have been in any other stadium, maybe they win the game. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, in another stadium, does Campy botch that ball that's right at him? I mean, like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
And that was the tying run there. Maybe some pitches don't hang as much. I don't know. I still just saw not that great performance out of multiple guys. It wasn't just them. You know, Randy Vasquez didn't have his best outing either. So, you know, I was listening on the radio broadcast a little bit, and Jesse and Tony were asking, do they go with Brito as a starter next time? Do they stay with Randy Vasquez if he gets that next opportunity this next time around, if Darvish is still on the IL? And so it was obviously not good enough where you have them openly discussing that on the broadcast in the middle of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's over with. The first trip to Colorado is, the nightmare is over. We split. Let's move on to let's beat the Phillies. Oh, my God. The Phillies are going to be tough. There's some more bad flashbacks involved with that team, but we'll see.
Yeah, I want to see that Suarez-Harper matchup again. And obviously that means that it's, well, hopefully it means, it's not obvious because it's not the same thing. Hader and Suarez, it's not the same thing as last year. But hopefully it is a closing situation, and Suarez can throw a changeup to Harper and Harper can strike out on that, because it's not redemption, because it's regular season versus NLCS and your season's on the line, but it would be nice.
It would be, man. Thanks for the platform. Are you going to, I'm sorry, are you not going to be on YouTube anymore real quick? Sorry. Just wanted to...
No. I'll be on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. This is just a different kind of, you're adding this as well. This is a co-broadcast.
Well, so what you're on right now is the platform that I go live on. So I'm not using YouTube to go live, but if you go on YouTube right now, I am live, but this is just the platform that I use to go live on YouTube. That's all. So yeah, everything's still the same.
You're the best, man. I appreciate you. I've been watching you for 3 or 4 years now, and I'm addicted as much as I don't want to admit it.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
I'm from Escondido. I went to my first Padre games in 1969, their first year. I was about 8 years old. And those are the uniforms I want brought back, the original originals.
Yeah, I'm hoping, like, because what jersey, I mean, do they need to have the brown top, that brown top with the sand on the road? Like, they really use it. So that's why I'm like, why not? What I loved was the sand, the all sand when Khalil was playing, the all sand with the San Diego. It doesn't have to be exactly like that, but I like that jersey, or bringing back a retro jersey to be like the alternate road jersey or another home jersey to add on. I know they already have Friday locked up and they like wear the white pinstripes at home, but just something, or a one-off where you have those retro jerseys. I know they did that when they were celebrating the 98 team for like the 20th time, one of these past years, but I think that would be cool.
Well, I'm a big fan of the brown and yellow. I like their home pinstripe brown shades. You know, I'm a Negro League fan. I like Negro League history, and somehow it reminds me of a Negro League team because it's just so different and gritty and stuff like that. And my Yankees fan friend says, what kind of, you know, yellow and brown, what is that? I say, hey, watch it, man. That's my Padres there. Those are good uniforms. The Yankees, boring uniforms.
Yeah, that is pretty boring. All right. Thank you so much, Jackie. Appreciate it.
Bye.
See ya. All right. Yeah, so let's get into the three games of this series. I think it's appropriate to start with today's game because that just happened. Haven't really given my full post-game reaction to that. I did that for I did that for game one. I don't think I did it for game two. Actually, hold on one second, because I did not load the game one because I totally blanked for some reason, thinking that that was a three-game series, not a four, but I knew it was a four at the same time. Okay, so today, Padres lose 10-9. They're 14-14. So much for, like, the good vibes. Jerks and Profar with the home run and the huge the bat flip. I mean, that was a great bat flip, but it just sucks that they weren't able to win this game, because that would be like on all the hype videos. And because he literally flipped the bat, obviously great sound off the bat, flipped it and looked at it as it was going up in the air and saw where it landed right in front of the Rockies dugout, his former team, obviously last year. And he was saying something essentially to, I think, Kevin Acey about how he did not, it just wasn't like the best organization for him last year. Different organization, different priorities, as I believe what the quote was there. So he stuck it to the Rockies, but then obviously the Padres, they end up losing. It's just inexcusable. And Wandy Peralta said this post-game as well. No excuses. Like, they have to, they should have won this game, have to win these types of games when you have a 5-run lead. And it's that late. It's not like it was a 5-run lead in the third. It was a 5-run lead going into the bottom of the freaking eighth inning, and they lose this game. That's what was frustrating about it. I mean, so let's start with Randy Vasquez. 2 2/3 innings, 4 earned runs, walk 2. And that's obviously been one of the issues, is just the location, the command. And so I wonder what, Darvish can return on the 30th, I think. So that would line up for Vasquez not having to pitch again, I don't believe. But if Darvish can't return on the 30th, then Vasquez would have to go again. Would they be willing to have Vasquez go one more time? I think they would. I don't think that they're going to have Brito start the game and have Vasquez come out of the pen. Hopefully, you know, they work on the command and he can be a little bit better. Remember his last outing, it wasn't that bad. The Pauly error happened and there were just unearned runs there and the inning kept going. And maybe he got a little bit fatigued there in that long inning. Today, it still, yeah, obviously wasn't that great. But there's still some stuff that you can see where, like, the movement on pitches, getting some swing and misses. And it's like, yeah, you can work with that. I don't know if it's going to be bullpen long term. I don't know what it is going to be. Is it going to be a nice trade piece? Now, he's under control for a while. So the Padres, I mean, you could see this could be like Adrian Morejon, where it feels like he's in the organization for a decade. So we'll see. I don't think that the Padres are going to be giving up on Randy Vasquez anytime soon. And then Brito, like, props to him. No earned runs, 2 1/3 innings, no walks. Didn't punch anyone out, but not giving up any earned runs. De Los Santos pitched well, inning and a third, punched out 4 guys. His ERA is 0.84. Matsui gave up 2 earned runs, which isn't characteristic of him. Peralta 4 earned runs. Like, those were the 2 guys, obviously, that blew it. And that eighth inning, let's just go through the eighth inning. Man, that sucked. Let me scroll down all the way to the eighth. So ground out, but then Brendan Rodgers double, walk. This is where Peralta comes in. So those guys get on base, and then Peralta comes in, gives up the home run to some dude named Hunter Goodman. Haven't heard of him. And that makes it 9-7. And those free base runners that were given to the Rockies from Yuki, obviously that ends up costing the Padres there, because it's 9-7 instead of, like, maybe a solo homer, or let's say a 2-run homer, not a 3-run homer. They lost by 1 run. So these little things counted today. Stallings single, Tovar walk, Doyle with the single, makes it 9-8, and then something inexcusable happens. It's not like Waldron's on the mound, it was a knuckleball. You have to catch this ball if you're Luis Camposano. It's not like the ball was in the dirt. No, it was a very catchable ball that he, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see what I'm doing. Instead of turning the glove, I guess it's easier said than done when it's, you know, split second to react, but he doesn't turn the glove to catch it. He kind of, like, tries to backhand it almost while it's in the air, if that makes sense. For any catchers that have caught, like, they know what I'm talking about, where you're moving the glove just to his left to catch it instead of turning the glove to make an easy, make it easier on yourself. And that ends up being the game tying run. And McMahon struck out in that at bat. That was the second out of that inning. Elias Diaz comes it up to the plate. Colette came in and he hung one, and Diaz ends up bringing in Doyle. Now Doyle got to third. He probably would have still scored if he was on second, right? Ball down the line, but little things add up there. And if Peralta, if that wild pitch wouldn't have happened by Campy, and let's say it would, what would the situation have been? It would have been Doyle on second. I think he would have been the only runner there in that situation. Runner on second, two outs, and then a double down the line. I still think he would have scored, so maybe it didn't make that much of a difference, but still, the game-tying run scored on that wild pitch. Like that. My point is, obviously, is like regardless of if that would have scored or not, if it would have, whatever, you cannot be dropping that ball. It's not in the dirt. It's not high. It's not a wild pitch. That's, I don't know why, that's a pass ball. Why is that called a wild pitch? That was not on Wandy Peralta. That's all on Luis Camposano. So just dumb mistakes like that, hanging pitches, walks, not being good enough. Padres were 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position, left five guys on base today. But I'm not going to get in on the offense. No Manny, no Jackson Merrill, groin injury there. But he said, he told Kevin Acey postgame he would have played if he had to play. He wanted to play. It was not really up to him. He'll be in there tomorrow was pretty much the update there. So I'm not worried if Jackson Merrill's not going to be worried about it. So there you go. Offense scored 9 runs. They put it together. We were waiting for a Coors Field game. Profar homers, Kim homers. It's on the pitching. Vasquez needed to be better. Yuki needed to be better. And Wandy Peralta needed to be better. Now, let's get to postgame, where Mike Schilt had some strong words. I don't think he was pissed off at Dennis. Maybe some fans. Let me know if you thought that he was actually pissed off at Dennis. But I think what happened here is Dennis was the reporter just doing his job, asking the question, and Mike Schilt got testy. He was pissed off, which is understandable. And credit to Too Much Morton's great social media follow. He posted this full video because I was not at my TV watching this, so I had to see it on social media. But here it is. Mike Schilt, in case you missed it, if you didn't, well, you get to hear it again. Here's Mike Schilt postgame.
It didn't seem like the first good one he has been of late. He just didn't really have it from the start today. Why was he left in for 5 batters? Did you consider getting him out of there earlier?
It was obvious to you.
I said it seemed like he didn't really have it.
Okay. Wandy has about a 60% ground ball rate. Okay. The second a guy gives up a home run, I can't just go take out a guy that's got a microscopic ERA and's got righties out all year. Now, it can be subjective whether he has or not. That can be your opinion. My opinion is I got a veteran guy out there that knows how to get a ball on the ground and is one pitch away from getting a ground ball. So that's what we had. It didn't work out. Things don't work out all the time. I don't know what you mean to tell you.
It's a crazy venue. Crazy things happen here. How much of it is concern versus that's just, you just chalk that one up to
close? I don't have any concern. I'm going to tell you what I walked out of this ballpark. There's some agitation because we didn't win the game. But I'm going to tell you what I walk out of this ballpark with. A couple things. A bunch of gamers that showed up without one of their better players in Manny, which, you know, rightfully so. He's having a baby. We got Jackson who, you know, little ouchie, want to stay away from it.
Little ouchie.
All over the field playing their asses off and going out and stepping up and getting after it every day. A bunch of gamers stepping up all across the board. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll run Wandy Peralta out there any and every day in the eighth inning with the lead. Okay? It doesn't work sometimes. But I can tell you what, this group, outside of the result at the end of the day, the heart and the competitive spirit and those guys getting after everything they've got, it doesn't work out every time. But I'll take this group any day of the week because I got a bunch of winning gamers.
Love it. Love it. I already love Mike Schilt. I love how he preaches like the fundamentals, doing all the little things. Baseball guy. Someone that will answer AJ's text messages, as insane as it is, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because he cares so much. Like, baseball is his life. Where with Bob Melvin, you just weren't going to be getting that. And I don't want to make this into like a whole 20-minute Bob Melvin against Mike Schilt thing. But did Bob Melvin ever do that with the Padres players? About like, I'll take these guys any day of the week. I'll take these guys all day, every day. The fight that they had. Or was it more of, I mean, he supported the guys. He got ejected as Padres manager plenty of times. Like, you saw the fire in there. But I don't remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I just don't remember Bob Melvin doing what Mike Schilt just did today. Like, going that far out there, like, I love these guys. The fight with this team, I'll go to battle with these guys every day, any day. I love that from Mike Schilt. And I agree with his decision-making. I mean, you could have said, if you say like Robert Suarez should have went in, not Colek, okay, in the eighth inning there, but you're probably going to have to go to Colek anyway then after Suarez. But, you know, it's easy to say you should have went to Suarez in hindsight, right? Colek hasn't even been that bad, I don't think, this year. He hung a pitch. And look, Wandy Peralta, that's the guy. I'm totally fine with him being out there on the mound. You know, the 60% ground ball rate that Schilt brought up. Yeah, ground ball pitcher, it just didn't work out. Just because it didn't work out doesn't mean that Mike Schilt made the wrong decision. And that goes with some lineup decisions as well. If a certain guy is in there and he doesn't perform, well, that doesn't mean that the manager's stupid. Maybe it means that the player needs to just be better. You know, there's some things that I've disagreed with Mike about this season, about some lineup decisions, lineup placements, player placements. But I haven't really like disagreed with bullpen decisions. Like, oh, you should have went to this guy over this guy. No, sometimes it works out. And most of the time it has worked out, by the way, this year. And sometimes it doesn't. So that's where I agree with Mike. I love the fire. I don't think that he was, again, I don't think he was pissed at Dennis. I think Dennis was just the guy that asked the right question, right? I think that's a good question to ask if you're a member of the media and a guy just pitched more than three outs, so more than the minimum, and he didn't have it. You ask the manager, what was your thinking behind keeping this guy in? And Schilt gave his thoughts, and I agree with those thoughts. So today, yeah, it was just one of those where, oh, I hope that later this year, that's not one of those that we're circling. Man, that's the game that prevented the Padres from getting home field advantage in the wild card series, or that's the game that prevented the Padres from making the postseason, or because we saw some of those last year, right? I remember the game in Pittsburgh where Tim Hill couldn't throw it to first base, or the game against Kansas City at home, where I believe a ball went right to the backstop. Chapman was on the mound, I think, and right to the backstop, came right back at, I think, Salvi, and the runner gets tagged out, and the game's over after that, I think, shortly, because Grish strikes out, or maybe it was a different game, Grish strikes out looking with a really key spot. There's a lot of games. And so you look back on those, you remember those, and hopefully that's not what happens here. Remember in Colorado last year, raining, I think it was, or it wasn't Honeywell. I think it was Cosgrove gave up the home run to McMahon, game tying, and then the Rockies walk it off. Like, games like that where, man, damn, should have won that game. That would have been nice. And so hopefully the Padres, if they sweep the Phillies, then we're going to be feeling a whole lot different, right? Because the Phillies are a much better team than the Rockies. The Phillies are going to be a postseason team. I think that's what most people think. They've got a good pitching staff. They got talent in that lineup. So, you know, the Padres, they may be playing up to the Phillies, and then they play down to the Rockies here, splitting this four-game set. It's not as bad as losing three out of four, but when you're up by five runs late in a game, You have an opportunity to take care of business, which other teams, other good teams, are going to take care of business at Coors Field against the freaking Rockies, and you can't do it. It's really disappointing. Game three of this series, the Padres win it 5-2. Padres got on it early. Ha-Sung Kim made it 2-0 right out of the gate. I loved how they attacked there. Merrill with the sack fly. Eggy with the freaking bullet right up back where it came from. Made it 4-0 Padres. 5-0 in the sixth. Merrill beating out that ball. McMahon did have that home run, the one run that Waldron gave up. But I thought Waldron pitched really well. Six innings, one earned run, five punch-outs. Yeah, he walked three, but that knuckleball was working. I don't know if the Rockies are going to be teaching their pitchers the knuckleball. Maybe they saw Waldron, what happened here, and they're like, man, let's see if some guys can learn this pitch and use it at the big league level, and that can be the guy that can be the stopper at Coors Field, because no big-time pitcher is going to go want to pitch at Coors Field. So the Rockies, they have to develop those guys. But Waldron attacking with Higgy behind the plate, and I think that's what Higgy said post-game was, they attacked. That's what he saw different from last night in comparison to that outing before. It was like they were really on the attack. Matsui, no earned runs. Suarez, quick inning. One punch out, 0.77 ERA. And Wandy had a 1.5 ERA going into today's game. And now his ERA is, what is it now? 4.38. That's what one bad game in April can do to your ERA. But, you know, just quickly, I know I'm not going too deep into this game yesterday, but like I just loved how they got on them early. I would have liked more consistent offense, but they got on them early, and I'm not going to sit here and complain too much about the Padres scoring five runs and ultimately getting the win. You know, Matt Waldron with that good performance. They lose in the second game of this series, though, 7-4. You look at the box score. I mean, 1-2-3 hitters did well. Crony had a three-hit game. Kim had a two-hit game. Campy had a hit. Merrill had two hits. Wade at the bottom had a hit as well. But, you know, Michael King just couldn't finish it. He couldn't finish the job, at least his job. Goes 3 2/3 innings, four earned runs, walked three guys. Struck out five, but his ERA is now at 4.11. He was cruising, you know, like he got off to a good start. There was that Nolan Jones single, made it 2-1 in the second. Padres had a 4-1 lead. But then Brendan Rodgers hits the grand slam. And leading up to the grand slam, I do want to go to that bottom of the fourth moment there. Hold on 1 second. So single, the error by Crony. That's what it was. That was big. He ends up trying to pick it. I think he was going to pivot because he wasn't super close to the first base bag. Pivot, go to second, run back to first for the double play. Error. And instead of having the first out of the inning there, or possibly double play, definitely first out, and then it would have been runner on first instead of a guy in scoring position. Now there's first and second, then Doyle singles, and now it's 4-1, and then Rodgers hits the grand slam, and it's 5-4, and the game totally turns there, obviously. Rockies go from down multiple runs to having the lead, and yeah, I mean, Padres weren't able to do anything after that. A lot of the action was early in this game. No runs between both teams. Sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, and then obviously top of the ninth with the Padres. No bottom of the ninth because there was no need to for the Rockies. But, you know, that was disappointing as well. You would have liked to see some Padres offense there in the second half of the game. So, yeah, I mean, look, you split. Like I said, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it feels like it right now coming off of today's game. And that second game, I would have liked them to do more there in that, especially like I just said, the second half of the game. Runners in scoring position, they were 3-for-6, but they left 9 guys on base. So getting more guys in scoring position and then not leaving those guys on base, obviously, would be ideal. But, I mean, they were able to win a game, a close game, in the first game of the series, 3-1. And in this game, you had Bogey go 0-for. Bogarts, by the way, for all the crushing of Bogarts that I've done, and it's been justified. I'm not like targeting Xander Bogaerts every day, even though if he's doing well, he's been doing a little bit better as of late, and he's doing the toe tap. It seems like he's found that. And so, you know, props to Xander. What'd he say before they left for Colorado, that he was taking 200 swings in the cage, and then he went to the toe tap mid at bat. He was like, oh, maybe I found something. So the work is being done. You know, Xander cares. He is accountable to the media. Trash is what he was calling his performance to Marty Caswell up at Dodger Stadium. What was that last? I'm keep losing track of time. Last weekend, whenever that was. He knows. He doesn't need to be told. Working his butt off. And I think he's been pretty good defensively. Transition from short to second base. And I still disagree with him batting leadoff. I don't think he needs to be batting leadoff, but Schilt continues to do that. Schilt, clearly, he values having the same top of the order, having those guys know where they're going to hit day in, day out. Bottom, it's not the same all the time, but the top, Bogaerts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Manny, when Manny's there, you know that's what it's going to be. And then after that, probably Profar fifth, Kim, like you know what it's going to be. And I think the players appreciate that, not having to go look at the lineup. I mean, they do probably, right? But you get what I'm saying. Having to look at the lineup every day, oh, where am I going to hit? Does my approach need to change? Do I need to be ready to go? Like you know, preparation, maybe it gets into their head a little bit. But you know, okay, Bogaerts, I'm leading off. Tatis, I'm hitting second. I'm hitting third if you're Crony. And you can be ready, and I'm someone that likes routine and knowing where I'm going to be at certain times. And maybe some guys don't care, or that's what they're going to tell the media. And then maybe they do care. But, okay, where was I? I just kind of went off on a tangent there. But yeah, game one of the series. So they win 3-1. That was the Dylan Cease. And there's some numbers to give you on Dylan Cease, because I got to talk about Dylan Cease. I'm not just going to say, hey, Padres, they won 3-1 and then not go over Dylan Cease. 7 innings, 1 earned run, no walks, 8 punchouts. Is that good? I'd say that's pretty good. A 1.82 ERA, definitely in the Cy Young conversation here in April. I get it. You're like, Ben, stop talking about the Cy Young. It's April. But this is something that the Padres aren't missing with Blake Snell, the slow starts. You have Dylan Cease get off to a really good start. And, like, you'll take 7 innings, no walks at Coors Field any day of the week. No doubt about that. And I just want to go through Dylan Cease, his Baseball Savant page. As you would think, there's a lot of red, pitching run value, 96th percentile, breaking run value, 99th percentile. X batting average, 91st percentile. His velo's in the red, whiff percentage, K percentage, those are in the red. Not many barrels, barrel percentage, 10th percentile. Yeah, he's not getting a ton of ground balls. Like, he's not Wandy Peralta. But when you're striking out a lot of guys and all I care about is earned runs, and it is what it is, I mean, I'm going to give you serious applause. Like, no doubt about that. Dylan Cease has been what the Padres acquired him to be. You know, they gave up Drew Thorpe. You don't want to give up Drew Thorpe. You just got him in the Juan Soto deal. But, hey, sometimes you have to give up some pieces that you don't want to do. You got to give up something to get something, right? And with Blake Snell right now, how is he doing? This was as of my article on Gaslamp Ball the other day. So that was the day after this. So as of Tuesday. And by the way, Snell just went on the IL. Cease is healthy and available. And he didn't have to miss any starts like Snell to begin his year at the full spring training, and flew to Korea. Probably didn't have to, but flew to Korea after the team had already left so that he could be with Ruben and be with his teammates and experience that. And pitched in the exhibition game as well. Don't forget that. 11 and two-thirds innings for Snell, 29.2 for Cease. 11.57 ERA for Snell, 1.82 for Cease. WHIP 1.971 for Snell, 0.742 for Cease. FIP, so fielding independent pitching, 4.64 for Snell. For Cease, it's 2.37. K per 9, 9.3 for Snell, 10.6 for Cease. And we view, right, Snell was a big strikeout guy last year. Cease still got him there. hits 18 for Snell, Cease 11. And by the way, remember the innings, Snell 11.2, Cease 29.2. So less hits allowed by Cease with a lot more innings at this point than Blake Snell. I don't want to turn this into like a bash Blake Snell. Like, I'd still like to have Blake Snell on the team, just not at the money, right? Guess how much money Blake Snell is making? Maybe you remember it already, but he's making $32 million this year. Cease, $8 million. So for a quarter of what Snell is making, Cease is having better numbers, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, you're definitely going to take that. No doubt about that. So Dylan Cease, I'm so happy that he is a San Diego Padre, and we have him for this year and for next year. Maybe there's Roky Sasaki, or maybe there's a Michael King extension, or Dylan Cease, he's going on the market. I'm kind of viewing this like Juan Soto. He's not going to be here long term, but I'm going to enjoy it while it's here, and hopefully he can help the Padres go win a lot of baseball games. That's how I'm viewing it right now. So we'll see. But Dylan Cease, man, seems like it's a good personality. And seven innings, eight punchies, no walks. I'm going to take that every freaking day of the week. All right, so there's my kind of series recap, and I will get to the chat after this break. Check out Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right. So, see, I'm getting all these notifications about the NFL draft. Like, I don't care. Like, the Vikings, I have family in Minnesota, so that's my NFL team. And I'm like, cool, okay. They got their quarterback of the future. But after that, I'm like, who cares? All right, let's get to the chat. A lot of people in the chat here. Again, if you want to join the show, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. If you want to support the channel, you can use that super chat button. Thank you all for being here. Some of the other great partners, Breaking Tea, if you missed it, I was wearing that Mr. Relevant shirt. Last homestand at Petco. Breaking Tea, they've already sold a lot of those. And I've seen some fans of the show support. It's weird calling them fans of the show. You're fans of the team. Supporters of the show, they use that link that I provided. So use that link. Click the link in the description. You can go get your Profar Mr. Relevant shirt. We thought it was going to be a big Relevant home run today and a nice bat flip, and then the Padres choked the series win. But still, love Profar. And by the way, I'm going to get to that Profar Tatis Hosmer conversation that happened on Hosmer's podcast, Digging Deep. Man, that was hilarious. So we'll get to that. Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100. Use that code TalkingFriars. Click the link in the description. And SeatGeek, same code TalkingFriars. They will once you click what seat you want, they will tell you if something's good, if something's bad. And first order with SeatGeek, you get a discount there. So I encourage you to use the resources, the discounts that I provide, you know, use that to your advantage. All right, let's go to Erica. We'll get to a couple chats, and then I'll get to the Hosmer Tatis Profar interview before getting back to the chat, because I don't want to forget about that, because that was hilarious. Erica says, Ben, when do you think our first sweep or four-game winning streak will come? Well, it's not going to come, I don't think, this homestand with the Phillies coming to town. The Reds is on the road, right? I think it's in Cincinnati. No, it's at home. My bad. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against Cincinnati. Off day finally on Thursday. And then Friday is when they're on the road in Arizona. Cincinnati's 14-11, so it's not like they're playing bad baseball. It's not going to come during this homestand. I don't see the Padres sweeping the Phillies and then winning game one, or sweeping the Reds and winning that series. I just don't see that happening. But, man, is this weekend going to be interesting or what? Like, to answer that question, I don't know. I mean, I guess let's look at the Padres' 2024 schedule and try to see when that might come. Um, Well, man. So Phillies, Reds, D-backs, Cubs, Dodgers, Rockies for three. So they could sweep the Rockies at home at Petco, May 13th through the 15th, win the series finale on that Sunday against the Dodgers, and there's four in a row right there. They played well against the Dodgers, so I'm not calling for a sweep, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying maybe there, if they sweep, they do what they're supposed to do and, you know, take advantage of playing the Rockies. Because I'm not thinking they're going to sweep the D-backs. I don't think they're going to sweep Phillies or the Reds. I don't think they're going to sweep the Cubs with another win on, you know, the end of the D-backs or the Dodgers. So I'm saying the Rockies may be there in mid-May. After that, it's the Braves for four games. And then the Reds. And then the Yankees. They have that stretch Marlins for three, end of May with the Royals. So maybe there. And then they have the Angels after that. So maybe there, end of May and June. But baseball's wacky, you know. So they could go sweep the Dodgers and win the last game of the previous series or win the first game of the last one. And there's a four-game winning streak. I don't know. JD's third says, hey, let's not get pissed. At least Mike Schilt got stressed during the presser. And instead of talking about the bullpen mismanagement, we are talking about how do we run through walls for him. How exactly did he mismanage the bullpen today? By not bringing in Suarez? I'm fine with him sticking with Wandy Peralta. I'd rather have Wandy Peralta, a ground ball guy, than have Stephen Kolek come into the game in that spot. Sometimes the pitcher just doesn't do enough. Sometimes your catcher lets you down, like can't be dropping that ball. Sometimes it's not on the manager. We don't have to be looking, searching to blame the manager every time. Dave says, was it gamers he called? Yeah, he called them gamers. Yeah. And these, I think these chats came in before I played those Schilt quotes, but yeah. Hey, especially in April, I love a manager that's going to have the players' backs and be all in on the players like that. Okay, before getting to the rest of the chat, I did want to just hit on the Hosmer Digging Deep podcast conversation with Profar and with Tatis, because that was hilarious. This came out the other day, and the big thing that was hilarious was the Ha-Sung Kim story. They talked about Fernando. I'm not going to play everything because I want you to go check their show out. It's a great job. They sat down with them in spring training, and they've been releasing these out. They talked with Manny. That's already been released. But Tatis not giving a crap about being at 3-0 against the Rangers when he hit that grand slam. And Profar is standing there on third base like, don't swing, Tati. It's 3-0. And Tatis is up there, you know, getting ready to take hacks. Like, he did not care. So that was funny. Tatis talked about hitting a homer out of Dodger Stadium. But this is the one where I think all of social media, I mean, the tweet has almost 700,000 impressions. The video I posted of Ha-Sung Kim, the story Haas tells about Ha-Sung Kim crushing cigarettes in the clubhouse. And this was when Haas was with the Padres to kind of deal with stress. Here is Haas telling that.
I tell the story with Kim. I tell, you know, a lot of the Korean and the Japanese players to calm the nerves, they smoke cigarettes. So Kim, his first year, crushing cigarettes. Like, you go to use the bathroom down the clubhouse, and Kim just boom, boom, boom. Like, God damn, Bobby.
Stressing.
Yeah. Stressing. So year two, he comes back to spring training, right? He comes back to spring training, and he goes, hey, bro, me, no more cigarettes.
No more cigarettes. We're like, oh, okay, good, good.
We go the whole spring. Good. Second day of the season, six at-bats in. We walk by, Kim's out there. We go, hey, you said you're done. He goes, mucho stress.
He got right back up.
People can't imagine what a mental grind a baseball season is.
Man, that was hilarious. Like that, Like, this is the side of Haas that we didn't really see publicly. You know, this is the teammate that he is in the clubhouse. Such great stories. And so that was hilarious. That was freaking funny. Even if you don't like Haas, and obviously a lot of fans don't like Haas because what happened with the Padres, right? And I believe it's the worst contract in Padres history as of now. We'll see what happens with Xander. But right now, that's the worst contract in Padres history based on performance. And that's what we have to judge it on. It's that. But I credit what he's doing with the podcast. You know, I think this is what the game of baseball needs. You know, with NBA, you see the Draymond Green show, and NFL, you see, right, the Kelseys, and there's Mookie, right, with his show. But I can't really give thoughts on that because I don't listen. I'm a Padre fan. I'm not going to go spend an hour listening to Mookie Betts. Sorry. Just not going to do it. But he has it. But getting that perspective, having players on, I think Foul Territory, I was on their show. Scott Braun came on mine. Like, great. I think they do a great job there with AJ Pierzynski and Eric Kratz. Who am I blanking on? Adam Jones, guys like that, that are on the show, giving their perspective, having players that are comfortable coming on and just talking, you know, giving real conversations. I love that. And I think the game needs more of it. I think maybe you don't bring in casual fans because maybe they don't come across the show. But hey, like, that thing went viral. So maybe some casual fans did see it and like, I'm going to check it out. And now I'm a bigger Ha-Sung Kim fan than I even was, you know. Maybe they come out of the interview loving Profar even more, you know? So I think it can't hurt doing that sort of stuff. I don't think it can hurt. And the baseball fans that are in the game, I think it can only help build those players' brands, and it can have us fans feel more attached to those players. So I did want to hit on that. Again, I'm not going to play every clip. You can go watch their show, listen to their show. But I think it's a good thing that he's doing. I'll tell you this, though. I was not expecting Eric Hosmer to post-career to go do a podcast. That was not on my bingo card. All right, getting back to the chat, JD's third says humans, not machines. Yeah, Schilt did say that, talking about the defense. And that is one thing where I'm like, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, just saying they're humans, not machines, kind of just, whatever, stuff like that. But when it's a one-off with Wandy Peralta like this, I'm fine with him totally backing the decision, the numbers behind it, and saying, I've got my players back, especially when they score 9 runs in the game. You know, it'd be one thing if they scored 1 run and they, you know, they split the series and then you're not feeling that great. But no Merrill, no Manny, and you score 9 runs. They do their job, and they're fighting, and it's a one-off with Wandy. Like, I'm totally okay with Schilt doing what he did today. JD's third says, is it really just one game, Ben? What about the other loss in this series? Yeah, that's true. It's 2 games. But, you know, what I'll say is, I don't want to say it's early because I know people will get pissed off. It's not, and I want to have urgency, you know, but I'm hoping, because what I've seen, because of the fight that they have, they'll be able to win some games that they're down this year to make up for what happened this series. That's I'm trying to look at it glass half full there a little bit. Hopefully that's what happens. Greasy says, frankly, I'm depressed and ashamed. Well, yeah, I don't think you should be ashamed, but depressed. That's what a lot of Padres fans are probably feeling today. I'm glad that Merrill, that he's good. That the groin, it doesn't seem like that's that big of an issue. And it was just precautionary. Iron Swan says, Hosmer living my dream retirement plan. Yeah, host a show. You get paid millions of dollars to not play baseball. Because he's still on a contract for, I think, this year and next year, right? I know it's this year. I believe they've got 2 more years left on that contract. Let me look it up. See, I don't even have to fully type in Hosmer contract. I've looked it up so much, it's already loaded. So let's see. Yeah, 2 more years. Jeez Louise. Padres, it's 12.2 because 720,000 is to the Red Sox. Or no, no, excuse me. That was last year. The Padres, it's 12.26 mil. 740,000 was retained by the Red Sox because they acquired Hosmer in a trade. It wasn't the Cubs like signing him. And then 760,000 next year. So the Padres, it's 12.26 this year, 12.24 next year for Haas not to play. Why not have him be like the first base coach, you know? The players love him. And he's a, I think he's a smart baseball guy. Just, you know, the whole playing thing wasn't working out there at the end. And he knows that. He's accountable to that. I wish he would have been like more accountable up front to the media, you know, telling the fans at the time, like Xander is right now. I think we respect that. But I mean, he's like playfully joking about, you know, the during his Profar Tatis convo, he was talking about the whole Slam Diego thing. And of course, I made the last out in an inning, and he says, shocker. So like he can playfully dig at it. He knows that he wasn't good. Let's see here. Yeah, I agree with this. Nando, best gear in the, or best cleats for sure. I love the Seidler ones. Obviously, I was a big fan of the Tony Gwynn Padre ones that he had. This series, he was wearing what? Up cleats with clouds? Something like that. There's the cleats that he had honoring his father, obviously. What other ones stuck out this year? There was a bunch last year, like the City Connect colors ones. Those were sick. I wonder if he's probably not because, you know, Tony was like right field and makes sense. But what if he makes Trevor Hoffman cleats? Wear those. I know he's not a closer, but just to all the Padre greats, please don't make Steve Garvey cleats, Tatis. Don't do that. But like the great players in Padres history, that would be cool. In the okay, interesting research here by Dave. To answer Jackie's question on how other teams do at Coors, I looked only at the division. The last 30 games each team, Dodgers 18 and 12, Giants 20 and 10, D-backs 14 and 16, Padres are 12 and 18. I don't know if that's updated last 30 games, Dave, but thank you for doing that research. I did not know that. I'm not surprised that the Dodgers are like that. I'm not surprised the Giants are like teams that are trying to be postseason teams, like they take care of business. Even the D-backs. It's still better than the Padres the last 30 games. I know it's not over 500, but it's still better. Padres, they missed the postseason by 2 games last year. Winning some games in Colorado like today, that will help. Charlie says, when the hell did Ben get a PhD in fielding? I don't, but I'm just saying as a catcher, and I've caught briefly, not in the big leagues, obviously, when a ball goes, when you're a righty catcher, right, your glove is in your left hand, because I've had experience with this, and let's say you're set up on the outside part of the plate and the ball ends up coming in. Instead of turning the glove, here, I'll do this so you can see, turning the glove to make it easier on yourself, you move the glove to your left, kind of like swipe at it a little bit, kind of backhand midair, if that makes sense, and it makes it harder. And sometimes you don't catch it. And that's what I saw from Campy today, if I remember what I saw correctly. Let's see here. Mike says his team, referring to Schilt, blew the game. So naturally, he took it out on people asking natural questions. Again, like, I think he was just pissed off at them losing a game down by 5 runs. And it's not like he didn't defend his decision well. He had stuff to back it up when Dennis asked the question. It wasn't a dumb question by Dennis, and I don't think it was a bad response by Schilt. It's not like Schilt said, you're an idiot, Dennis. Now, he did say it was obvious to you to go to someone else other than Peralta. But like he backed it up. When someone gives up a home run, I can't just take him out. I mean, you're going to be gassing your bullpen. You're not going to be giving guys confidence, 60% ground ball rate. he trusted him to get ground balls, and it just didn't work out today. But I agree. I have faith in Wandy, and until he has like three consecutive crappy outings, then we can start talking. But for now, it sucks that they lost. Should have won the game. No excuses. Wandy says that. And I think that he'll bounce back next time. Mike says, if he was so proud of your guys, why was he so pissed? Well, he was pissed because they lost the game. He can be proud of what the offense did and be pissed off at what happened at the end. I think that's fair. This is funny. Iron Swan says, Bob misses his Manta Mask sponsorship he had with us. Sleepy Bob. He did get ejected a good amount of times. Like, there was fire there. You saw some of it. Remember that Twin Series last year, I think, right? Early in the year, where he was like, guys got to show a little bit more fight. You saw the passion, but I don't remember him backing the players like as hard as Schilt did today. Charlie says, Ben, to be fair, you were vouching for Bob Melvin last year when the hardcore fans wanted him gone during the Twin Series when he lost the clubhouse. Melvin even said the team didn't play hard enough. Well, I think at that point, the Twin Series was beginning. That was the first third of the year for sure. A guy that just took you to the NLCS. I mean, okay, you could say maybe he lost the clubhouse, you know, later in the year when Soto came out with the quitting quotes. But to say he lost the clubhouse, the Twin Series, I feel like that's a little bit early. And I think that was fine to be defending Melvin then, because he just took the team to the NLCS the previous year. And I think I was giving him like the benefit of the doubt. Things will turn around. And him saying that, like, they got to show more fight, something like that, I think that was him like being accountable, trying to hold the players accountable. So I was fine with him doing that at that time. When did I say I wanted the Padres to sign Snell? I definitely didn't say I wanted the Padres to sign Snell, Charlie, at that price tag. Now, on a discount, sure, but on that price tag, sorry, Blake, no. I love having Dylan Cease compared to what Blake is making on a, I think, two-year deal. I think there's an opt-out after this first year. No thanks. Fitcheck says, should have left in Eniel. Well, he pitched well today, but he had already pitched an inning and a third. Like, how long are you going to leave him in for? That's what I would ask. Continuing to go through the chat here. Chad says, that loss today didn't tilt me as much as games like with that in the past. I know the Rockies are god-awful, but my expectations for the Padres this season were pretty low. It makes it easier to stomach. But my counterpoint to that, Chad, is you're playing the Rockies. They're awful, like you said. And when you're able to win games, come back against the Dodgers, you're down 8-0, you come back against the Cubs, you should be able to win a game when you're up 9-4, whatever it was, against the Rockies today. That's, I guess, my counterpoint is. And your expectations, okay, being pretty low. What's pretty low? Like, barely making the postseason? My expectations for this team going in was be a postseason team. Not win the division, nothing unrealistic, but fight. You know, see that up, see some talent there, see some better years from key guys, make the postseason and be playing good baseball. You know, when it counts at the end. Well, it counts every day, right? But you get what I'm saying. When it counts the most to be playing good baseball because you're going into the postseason. You know, hopefully that they're going to be going into the postseason. Chad says, is Preller going to have any fingernails left by the time the trade deadline arrives? Yeah, I don't know. JD's third says, when was our last sweep at home? I believe they did it last year. Think they did. I can look that up. They haven't done it this year, did they? Or am I just freaking blanking and I'm just being stupid? I don't know. Let me check 2023 first. Last sweep at home was against the Rockies, September of last year, September 18th, 19th, and 20th. They won 11-9, 2-0, and 3-2 against the Rockies. Yeah, Chad, I'm curious to see how they match up against the Phillies as well. Man, these pitching matchups. Oh, boy. Musgrove against Nola on Friday. I mean, talk about must watch. Saturday, it'll be Ranger Suarez against Cease. Cease, 1.82 ERA, Suarez, 1.36. I mean, another must-watch matchup. And then Sunday, Taiwan Walker makes his return for the Phillies against Michael King. So those are some good matchups. We know the Phillies, the star power they have, the Padres, the guys that they have, Manny coming back, Merrill in the lineup, hopefully back after missing today. That's a popcorn, get your popcorn ready series. No, don't put that negative energy into the air. Harper going yard again. Don't do that. Hopefully not. Yeah, Chad, who's going to make the Mucho Stress cigarette shirt? Yeah. That's someone's going to make a shirt of Ha-Sung Kim smoking, right? The players would probably wear that. Just, you know, funny one day during BP. That is funny. What the hell was that eighth inning? It was garbage is what that eighth inning was. Yeah. Padres know that. Well, I guess that is the problem, Lizzie. Like, yeah, the whole smoking's bad for you thing. But I think the players know that and they realize that. I think people in general, you shouldn't be stupid enough to be like, smoking's good. Ha-Sung Kim does it. I think you should know that smoking probably isn't the best thing, but people deal with things in their own ways, so I don't want to say don't do it. I mean, I'm health conscious, so I'm like, don't do it, but do whatever you want, obviously. All right, anything else here that stands out? I'm looking in the chat. Really? CBS 121, trade Machado and Bogarts? Well, one, that's impossible. And two, you're just going to give up on Manny? You're just ready to give up. And again, like Bogart, no one's taking the Bogarts contract. Manny got paid, now can take it easy. His wife is having a child. They're having a child. Hopefully you're joking about this, but if you're not, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Come on, man. He's allowed to take a series off against the Colorado Rockies to go have this moment that you can't get back with his wife, Yaine. Come on. All right, that's it. Talking Friars episode 590. Thank you, everyone, for the time. Again, expect a cool interview, big-time interview coming out hopefully tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. Appreciate podcast listeners. I don't take you for granted. I don't take for granted those that take the time to watch live, watch on replay as well. Have a great night. Hopefully the Padres can take this series against the Phillies. It's going to be hopefully a fun one. A disappointing end to this one, though, against Colorado.